Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you,
Lord. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, when Jesus was requested a sign, first thing he did was he sighed from the depth of his spirit. So frustrated, in a sense, that there was such hardness of heart. And then he asked, "Why does this generation seek a sign?" St. Matthew's version of the same Gospels, "Why does this evil generation seek a sign?" Now, the Jews were expecting that when the Messiah came, he would be full of signs. Jesus describes what the job description of the Messiah would be in terms of his miracles when he appeared in the Nazareth synagogue in St. Luke's Gospel. That the lame would walk, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the imprisoned would be freed, everyone would experience a year of the Jubilee. And what was Jesus doing? He was already doing all of these signs. He was famous for these signs, and yet people were continually coming and asking him for signs. It was a losing proposition for Jesus, because if he did the sign, they weren't going to believe. And if for some strange reason the sign didn't work, then they were going to have the machete to chop him into pieces. We see how this dynamic happened. When Jesus was working all his spectacular exorcisms, rather than saying, "Okay, this person is casting out demons with the power of God, let's listen to his words," they were saying, "He's casting out devils by Beelzebul, the prince of devils." When he raised Lazarus from the dead after Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, 3 days was the testing period. If the person weren't raised from the dead on the third day, he was gone. Fourth day, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead from the tomb. He walks out. They take off all the burial cloth, even though everybody knew there'd be a massive stink of rigor. But instead, did they accept that sign? No. The same people who were plotting to murder Jesus sought to eliminate the evidence of what Jesus was capable of doing by killing Lazarus too. They put out a contract on Lazarus. St. Matthew's Gospel, when this or a similar scene pops up, Jesus says, "No sign will be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah." Just like Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the earth, so will the Son of Man spend 3 days in the belly of the earth before he would be risen from the dead. And even after that sign occurred, what did they say? They bribed the Roman guards to say his disciples came at night to steal the body. The greatest sign of all, they weren't going to believe either, because they didn't have the faith to want to believe. They didn't trust. They thought they had it all. There was no openness at all to what God would want to do in their life. That's why Jesus called that generation an evil one. That's why he sighed with frustration in the depth of his spirit. The Lord does give us signs, but the signs don't cause faith. The signs confirm faith. They strengthen our faith and help us to listen to what the Lord is saying and calling us to more attentively. To pay attention to the signs that Jesus has already given. His words, of course, are a sign. Do we accept those words? His healings are a sign. Do we recognize that they point to a deeper healing? The greatest miracle of all is giving us His body and blood as a sign of just how, in His providential care, He didn't think anything else was good enough for us, so He gave Himself in order to strengthen us on the way. Do we embrace this sign? First reading today, we begin to see the real sign that the Lord gives us every single day, precisely to confirm our faith. It's a sign many of us don't want. It's the sign of the cross. It's a sign of testing. St. James, we begin his letter today. We're going to have it for this week and next at daily Mass. It's one of the clearest letters that we have in sacred scripture about the way we're supposed to act. Can almost be summarized with something we'll hear later this week, that we're called to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So he says to us at the beginning today, consider it perfect joy, brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Trials in your family, trials in your health, trials in the faith. Consider it perfect joy when you encounter these various trials. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. That word perseverance in Greek is hupomone, which is an unbelievably important word. It points to Jesus' patience on the cross. It points to the patience of a Roman army sieging a place for years. They know they're going to win. It may take a long time, but they're never going to quit because they know victory's assured. When we're given these various trials, it produces this type of hupomone when we receive those trials in faith. It goes on, let this perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Precisely in our faith, these trials are a gift of God, a sign that God really loves us and is trying to help us grow in faith. I remember when I was working down in Washington, D.C., running a political action committee, I was talking to my spiritual director at the time, having read lots of Lives of the Saints. What was common in every single life of every single saint was that they suffered. And I was talking with my spiritual director, and it's just, Father Ron, I don't think I've really had to suffer up until this point in my life. Every single person I've ever loved is still alive and seems to be doing well. I've done great in sports, I've done great in music, I've done great in academics, I've really never had to suffer at all. And I began to feel that I wasn't on the path of the Lord. If the Lord's calling us to sanctity and He always tests those He wants to perfect, why is He leaving me on the side? And Father Ron, with great wisdom, said, don't worry, Roger, the wrecking ball will come. And it did. It did many times. Thanks be to God. But the Lord always tests those whom He loves. So when those trials come, those are a sign not that we're away from Him or He's somehow trying to punish us. Those signs are a great caress that the Lord's trying to help us truly to grow in faith. So the sign of the cross, just like it was Jesus' greatest sign, that He loved us so much that He would bear all of that torture for us, but then rise from the dead on the third day. So our own signs of the cross, our own trial, are meant to produce that type of hupomone, that type of perseverance, because after that cross, He too will raise us from the dead. That there'll be joy, that there'll be an Easter after a Good Friday. This is perfect wisdom, St. James says. He says some of the times we don't approach these trials with perseverance. He says we're kind of like the undulating waves of the ocean. At times we believe and at times we don't. At times we believe and at times we don't. Keeps going back and forth like those waves. And what the Lord wants to produce in us is a faithful tsunami, one that just continues to grow bigger and bigger and keeps going in the direction without coming back. We can't do that unless we have trials. It's in the trials, it's in the crosses, that we need to depend more on God, not on ourselves, as He continues to pull us forward. How do we learn how to do that? The great teacher, according to our humanity, is the Blessed Virgin, whose heart was pierced with swords 7 times and more. Today we celebrate the 7 founders of the servants, the servites of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the 1200s in Florence, they were all part of a very rich mercantile class, the first real entrepreneurs in history, and they were making a fortune. But they recognized that as much as they were rolling in the dough, something was missing and God was calling them to something greater. They were members of a guild dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. But the Blessed Virgin went to each of the 7 individually, they were friends, and said that she wanted to ask them for something more. And so they founded this new order. They gave out all of their money, which was extensive, to the poor of Florence, and they went away, specifically dedicated to her sorrows, to learn from within her sorrows how to have this holy hupomone, how to have this perseverance. They suffered tremendously there. First, the sufferings were through their mortifications. They gave up almost everything, and they really wanted to grow in the capacity to be able to bear anything for the Lord. And a bishop came to visit them, as a bishop normally will visit all of the congregations within a diocese, just to make sure everything's fine. And the bishop had to upbraid him. He said, listen, a mortified life is very important, but you guys are self-barbarians. You're being barbaric to yourselves. And he called them to a little bit of balance. Eventually, the Lord would test their entire order. There was a sense during the 1300s that there were way too many religious orders, and that the Vatican couldn't supervise them, and a bunch were going off the deep end. So they said, no new religious orders. And the Servites were just a religious order in the city of Florence under the Archbishop of Florence. And so the Vatican suppressed them simply because they were new. One of them needed to go very patiently to Rome and beg the Pope not to suppress them. But they were willing to suffer through that trial too. And all 7 of these founders were canonized. So many of their sons and daughters were canonized. I know some of you are battling with cancer. One of the most famous saints of the Servites is Saint Peregrine, who himself was taught the faith by them, and when he had a cancerous lesion on his leg that was just growing, he was instructed by them to turn through the Blessed Virgin Mary, through her sorrow, and ask God for a miracle. And the Lord granted that miracle to Saint Peregrine, which is why he's the patron of all those with cancer. He learned how to grow in that holy hupomone through the cancer. But then he had the Easter after the Good Friday. The end of today's readings says something that the Servites took very seriously. The brother in lowly circumstance should take pride in high standing, should take pride in his unbelievable dignity as a son of God, and the rich one in his lowliness, for he'll pass away like the flower in the field. Even though these 7 founders were rich, they divested themselves of that and became humble. Humble just like they learned from Mary at the foot of the cross. Why does this generation seek a sign? Today, as we come forward, we, through their intercession, ask their help so that we might learn this same holy wisdom through the Blessed Virgin Mary, standing under a mantle at that foot of the cross. As we prepare to receive here the greatest sign of all, which helps us to persevere through each and every trial, because we know that every day we receive the Lord Jesus' body and blood, which came after His enormous trials, that the Lord Himself will bring great good out of our own. So we thank Him for those trials, and we ask Him for the grace to consider them perfect joy as we continue today as His great wave to continue to push to the eternal shore. Praise be Jesus Christ.